Welcome to Threshold Stories, crossing thresholds one story at a time. I'm your host, Jeff Gora. Carolyn Hoover, welcome to Threshold Stories.
Thank you for having me.
You know, how could I not have you, right? You're the young rock star female from Team USA who does duathlon. But the fun part for me when I look at you is when I point to this hat and say, what does it feel like to have one? You've already got one, don't you?
I do.
So how old were you the first time you raced at Worlds?
I believe that I was 21 or 22. I was 20.
You were 20 years old and you did your first world championship.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So tell us what you remember about the experience other than the race. Start with opening ceremonies to you. What was that?
Well, first I was just happy to be there because in order to get there, I had to orchestrate an entire year of living in Europe in order to let my parents convince my parents to let me compete. Mm-hmm. So when I arrived, I was just thrilled. And I was walking out of the airport and I realized that I didn't have my helmet anymore. And so I went to the flight attendant and I said, excuse me, ma'am, you took my helmet and I can't find it. And she said, oh, well, I can't find it either. And I said, well, ma'am, I'm actually competing in world championships and I need a helmet. Do we know where it is? And she's like, you know, I actually saw a man walking out with it. So I went running through the airport, looking through my helmet. Some other man saw me. I think he was also Team USA. And so he helped me track down my helmet. Some man had took it and I got my helmet back. And
what a story.
That was the first. Then I was finally able to leave the airport and I saw my parents who showed up and surprised me. So I was thrilled, but I was completely out of breath, completely frazzled. And my mom was like, oh, goodness, what have we gotten ourselves into?
Nice.
So for perspective's sake for the listeners, where are you when you're telling the story? And where are your parents coming from?
We were in Pontevedra, Spain, which is where ITU World Championships was that year. And my parents flew in from Washington, D.C.
So a quick hop across the pond.
Right.
Or something like that.
It was great because my dad actually knew how to drive stick shift. And by the time they got there, that was the only car available. So I almost got car sick, but we did make it around Spain.
So your dad was the chauffeur throughout this whole process.
He was.
Did you say you didn't know they were coming?
Not until the day before.
Oh, okay. So let's go to opening ceremonies of the World Championship. What do you remember about that experience?
It was the first time where it all hit me how special and unique this experience was because there's only a few people in their lifetimes who get to be surrounded by people from all over the world. And when you have that magical experience, when everyone has the same goal and everyone also is just happy to be there, it's the most uplifting and inspiring experience. And you realize that no matter how you do the next day, you still have a win because you've experienced something that the rest of the world doesn't understand. And I almost felt in that moment that if the rest of the world did experience that, then you wouldn't have problems because
like war would go to the low, low bucket.
Huh? Exactly. World peace would be realized because you could see the value and the joy in other people. Mm-hmm.
So what other country athletes do you remember hanging out with? I can still remember mine from way back on different people I met.
All over. So I'm half Japanese. So first I met the Japanese athletes, which is really fun. Also the Kenyans, they were terrific. I was so intimidated at first, but they're all very nice. There is at first a language barrier, but then it's just the joy that brings everyone together. Also Germany. So it was just a really fun time.
I like it. So my side story, when I went to a world championship in 2015, there was no women in transition from Team Germany. And I became the Team Germany photographer because no one else had anything to take pictures with. And I still have photos and emails and text messages from the German women from way back then. So they kind of last. Before we did this, before we even started this podcast, yesterday when we were doing a debrief on some stuff, you mentioned that the closing ceremonies were special to you. Talk to everybody about that. What was it about closing that was so special?
So at opening ceremony, you have like the pre-excitement. Like everyone is happy, but at the same time, the looming idea of racing the next day, it's kind of scary because you have something on your mind. And then at closing ceremony, that's all gone. You've done your best. And in that moment, it's just about appreciating the work that you've put in and appreciating each other. And they timed it perfectly. It was sunset, and they had an amazing group of bands playing. And at one point, everyone just connected hands and started dancing around. Mm-hmm. And there was confetti. And it was one of the most inspirational songs. It was in Spanish, so I don't know the name. I wish I did, mm-hmm. so I could relive the moment. But at that moment, that was when I really believed that we could achieve anything in the world, and it's pure happiness and pure love. Because everyone from across the country, across the world, across cultures, across languages, across religions was holding hands and just happy. And that was the purest moment of my entire life.
You're touched right now just telling the story to the crowd right here. That's pretty cool stuff.
Carolyn, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You were 20 years old.
Right.
Were you the youngest athlete there?
I was the youngest Team USA athlete by a couple of years.
That's unbelievable.
For females.
I didn't even know about this sport until I was 27.
Right. I didn't know about it until I was, I'm not going to answer that question. 46. There we go. I said it. So let's fast forward a little bit to a month ago. Talk through the events from a month ago that ended up with you in my basement doing a podcast.
So I knew that I wanted to compete in national championships again. Actually, the first time I learned about duathlon national championships was because I had qualified for triathlon national championships. And when you're on that Team USA newsletter, that's how I found out about duathlon. And that year, that was my first time competing. And I believe I was 19 at the time. And they were in Greenville, South Carolina, and I was at Duke. So I'm like, this is perfect. So I told my parents it was in Greenville. Little did they know it was the Greenville in South Carolina. And then I decided to go and compete. And that's how I qualified for Worlds the first time. So I knew I wanted to qualify again, even though I was, in my opinion, very out of shape. I didn't know what I would put out. But I knew that you can't just wait for opportunities or until you feel 100% ready. Sometimes you just have to do it. And if I hadn't, I wouldn't be here today. Mm-hmm. So just taking the initiative to go out there, even when I didn't feel fully prepared, I'm very proud of myself for that. And obviously there are greater factors at play that landed me here today. And so I had decided to sign up for all three races. And I also had forgot my sunscreen. And I had a layover in Miami. So by the end of my first race, I was quite sunburned. And everyone could see it, but I had a lot of other things on my mind, so I really wasn't thinking about it. I was walking back, thinking about my next race for the day, and then a man said, "You're really sunburned."
I wonder who that could be.
I know I'm quite sunburned. And I turned around, and we started talking, and he mentioned that he was from Charlotte, North Carolina. I went to Duke, love North Carolina. We started talking about that. I said I lived in New York City. He said he went to Columbia. I was like, this is weird. We have a lot in common. And then I started talking to his athletes, and we all just really clicked. And we got dinner that night, and it just became very clear that this was where we all were supposed to be. And I don't know how we all got here, but this is where we all are today.
That's true. The sunburn comment, literally, that was the precipitating event. Had you not been roasted, I probably wouldn't have gone up and called you out by your name.
Right, and that was my first time actually being sunburned, so there's a reason.
Your first sunburn?
My first real sunburn.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to have to let the Great Barrier Reef work on you some when we're in Australia, because that happens.
For
there.
Real.
So what's been? Talk about your experience this weekend so far. You've been immersed with people you didn't know in a house you've never been to, and you're lit up like a Christmas tree. So talk to everybody about what happened to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's power in proximity, and I think a lot more people would achieve their dreams if they understood the power of proximity and being around people who have the same dreams and goals and being around people who support you. And so that's really what this weekend represented to me. It was the fact that for the first time, I knew people who understood the sport and that it's not something that people do when they're crazy. I mean, we're kind of crazy, but it's something that you do for a greater power. And when you do it, you find new versions of yourself and the people around you. Right. And that's why we all do it together. And it's not always about crossing the finish line, because I never have really trained for races. I've only ever done them because as a female, it's kind of hard if you don't know other athletes who are also interested. It's hard to go long distances by yourself. So that was actually one of the reasons why I also signed up for my first races, was to get some mileage in a safe, contained, monitored way. Mm-hmm. So it was really special now that I have a group of people. And so we're not crossing a finish line, but everything we do feels like we are. Mm-hmm. And that's a special experience that I can only achieve when the people around you feel the same way. And so for me, as the only female, I kind of feel like I've gained brothers. I have an older sister, but I've never had brothers. And it's been so special to learn from them and to figure out new techniques. And again, not only did I learn that I was running wrong, but I think I was living life wrong. So now I can really take those lessons back with me. And it's been the most incredible experience.
Cool. That's good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for being on Threshold Stories.
It's fun.
Thanks for listening to this chapter of Threshold Stories, Crossing Thresholds, One Story at a Time. Get ready to cross more thresholds with me in 2 weeks. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or on my Facebook page at Jeff Gora Team USA.